When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz look like they're on a collision course for a final in Miami, but there are a lot of tough competitors in their way. This is the quarterfinal preview. Come on, let's get stuck into it. And here are all of our quarterfinals. We have Carlos Alcaraz versus Grigor Dimitrov in the first quarterfinal. Alexander Zverev versus Fabian Marjan. We have Daniil Medvedev versus Nicholas Jarry. And Yannick Sinner versus Thomas Mahach at the bottom. A couple of names, maybe two or three in there, I didn't expect to see. Thomas Mahach being one of them. He's always been on the radar, but never really done it at a big event. I feel this is his coming out party. Look forward to seeing how he does against Yannick Sinner. Obviously, we've seen Thomas Mahach play really well this week. He's taken out some very, very good players on his way. And I mean, he just defeated Arnaldi 6-3, 6-3. And Arnaldi was playing pretty well. He managed to take out Bublik and Schapo. But yeah, Rublev, Murray, Arnaldi, not a bad list, and he's only dropped one set so far in this tournament, but he will be up against Yannick Sinner in his quarterfinal. And Yannick Sinner, I thought he did everything the right way. I think he came up against a very good Chris O'Connell. This tournament, Chris was playing some fantastic tennis, and he really took the match to Yannick Sinner, and he was up a break in that first set. Yannick Sinner just finds a way to win these days, though. He's a bit of a grinder. And you could see, even though O'Connell was hitting with some real power, like Yannick, he can hit a ball on the run very well. He's being pushed to the side, to the other side. And there was always a response to O'Connell being aggressive on the court. I really liked what I saw from Sinner. I feel like he'd leveled up a little bit from the last round as well. And he's looking like a little bit of a shoo-in potentially for the semi-final, but he has to beat another tough competitor. Mahach is no joke, and I'm sure that'll be super entertaining. I mean, Chris O'Connell, I'd sort of put him alongside Mahach, I'd say. I think that they're both very solid players, especially on the hard courts. We've actually interviewed both of them as well, which is quite interesting. But yeah, Yannick Sinner, he will be the favourite in that quarterfinal matchup. And I'm really excited to see how Yannick Sinner gets on. Another statistic about these quarterfinalists as well. Obviously, if we go back 15 years, we've got the 1, 2, 3, 4 were Nadal at number one, Federer at number two, Djokovic at number three, and Andy Murray at number four. And at the quarterfinal stage this year, we obviously have Alcaraz at number one. We've got Sinner as number two. These are seeds. I know that Djokovic fans are going to jump in and go, he's not number one. Number one seeds. Alcaraz number one, Sinner number two, Medvedev number three, and Zverev at number four. And I think, well, Alcaraz, the way he's playing at the moment, could well become world number one again very, very soon. I mean, this match with Lorenzo Musetti, it was billed to be like one of those popcorn matches. And I think it did live up to the bill, especially as we got to see some crazy shots, like a front-facing tweener lob from Lorenzo Musetti. I don't think I've seen many people attempt this. I mean, it was a drop volley, really, from Alcaraz. Lorenzo came in and did the tweener lob. Alcaraz did a tweener in return, and then a brilliant volley to finish the rally. Musetti playing well. I think despite losing this one, it was a convincing loss. But I sort of expected it to be a convincing loss, sadly, for Musetti. I feel there are levels. I don't feel that Musetti, despite how well he played in the round before against Ben Shelton, it's a different animal, Carlos Alcaraz, and he's just everywhere on the court. That was the one thing to note, really, in this match, is shots that were working against Ben Shelton were just not working against Carlos Alcaraz, like especially the backhand down the line. Alcaraz was wise to it. I mean, he nearly hit the exact same shot that he got the amazing winner against Shelton, but Alcaraz slid over there and put a volley away instead. Alcaraz is on another level right now, and a 6-3, 6-3 victory against somebody like Musetti, who was just, I thought, yeah, could potentially give him a slightly closer set than that, but credit to Alcaraz that it was a 6-3, 6-3. There's not even a tiebreak in there, no 7-5. A comfortable victory over a very, very good opponent. Somebody, after just having a child, who looks back to his best, I'd say, Musetti. And that's not discrediting him, saying his best is a loss, 6-3, 6-3 to Alcaraz, because that can be a lot of players. Look what he did to Zverev in the last tournament. I mean, we'll get on to Zverev next, I think, because Zverev, well, it was incredible. I thought it was going to be a closer match, to be honest. They're two big serving players, Kalen Khachanov and Alex Zverev. But Zverev just wiped the court with him, 6-1, 6-4. The rematch of the Olympics final, yeah, as well. And it's his 27th Masters quarterfinal, and he's tied with Raonic and Songa now. It's only 69 minutes on court, and no break points faced, and only lost 9 points on serve all match. And if that's not a scary thing for anybody else in the draw, I don't know what is, because obviously he's going to be up against next Fabian Malazan. And Malazan, probably the biggest upset. I think Mahatch is quite big as well, but defeating Dimonor, who's been in amazing form. I think myself, JG, saw Dimonor going past this, maybe facing Jannik Sinner, who knows, in a semi-final. You just weren't sure, really. I don't know what to say about Malazan. He's at the moment a patchy player, where one tournament's great, another one maybe not so great. Will he finally hit the ground running, where we get to see an incredible level from him on a more consistent basis? I mean, his form's not that bad. I mean, and obviously in this tournament, he's beaten Kovacevic, Holger Rune, Alexei Poprin, and Alex de Minaur. In Indian Wells, he beat Sebochvild, beat Jarry and Rodionov. Before that, there were losses to Fokina, Khachanov. I mean, he lost to Marton Fucsovics, Kuepfer at the Australian Open. He lost to Taylor Fritz, but he did defeat Cerundolo, who was in a bit of a bad patch, and Cilic. Yeah, I mean, the jury's still out a little bit, but the more he puts in these performances, the more I'm going to want to watch him play tennis, because his style of tennis is so attractive, very aggressive, and such great hands as well. He just, the way he caresses the ball, especially against somebody like a Dimonor who's so fast around the court, to be able to put the ball in places that he can't get to, I think you've got to give this young kid a round of applause. I think he is definitely still blooming. He's only 24 years old. The best could be yet to come for Fabry and Malajan. And Zverev's not going to be an easy matchup, especially if he's serving in this crazy form where he doesn't even get break points against his serve and barely drops a point. I mean, you've seen how much of a problem Alcaraz has with Zverev when he's serving well. And he's one of the potential bogey players for an Alcaraz. So we need to really watch out for Alex Zverev in this tournament. And we need to watch out for the 1-2-3-4 because, well, it looks like it could happen. That's what I had in my bracket. I had the 1-2-3-4. Zverev was maybe a little bit of one that a lot of people may have just gone with a different person in that section, but you never know with Zverev. He turned it on against Khachanov. He looked incredible. It just literally wiped him off the court. It was his backhand. I swear, Zverev's backhand really firing and looking solid. The rest of his game follows. And the serve was going well, the backhand going well. And when he comes to the net, he's nearly like impossible to pass. He's a huge frame to try and get it either over or past. And yeah, Khachanov didn't look like he had no ideas of how to beat Zverev. So well done to Sasha Zverev. Probably the craziest match of that fourth round had to be Grigor Dimitrov versus Hubi Hurkacz. Who would have thought? I mean, Hurkacz, obviously a former Miami champion. I would have thought he would have won this one. But credit to Grigor Dimitrov for continuing his great run of form. I mean, how long is it going to last? He seems to not lose that often these days. And there's normally a run of quite a few consecutive wins before another loss. And credit to Grigor for really turning his career around. He's at a career ranking of 12 at the moment. Hurkacz was 9. Maybe he'll be climbing up the rankings a little bit more after this performance. But he's going to be obviously facing a terrible next round matchup for him. It will be Carlos Alcaraz. I'll give you my prediction on that at the end. But let's talk about Hurkacz versus Dimitrov. It was sort of a match of different styles, as we know. Hubi Hurkacz, very big serve, heavy. And I think Dimitrov's game is just one of the most attractive to watch on the tour. The single-handed backhand is just so, so nice to watch. And the forehand looks like a real weapon these days too. The fact that he had to come back from this first set deficit and then managed to grab the second set. That final set was always going to be a real tight one. Hurkacz, if he just held his serve, was always going to be a tough man to even get close to breaking. We know what it's like for when you're facing Hurkacz. Even the likes of Djokovic will tell you nearly impossible to break him when he's serving well. And in this final set, there were no breaks of serve. And the only time when it all came tumbling down was in the tiebreak. And I felt a bit sorry for Hubi Hurkacz, if I'm honest. There was a really, just one point that just defined nearly the whole match, I'd say. Hurkacz was running in to try and get a drop shot from Dimitrov. And he got there, he slid, he got the ball over the net. But the umpire said that he touched the net. And I don't see Hurkacz lose his temper ever. I don't think I've ever seen him lose his temper. But instantly he threw his racket into the centre of the court on the floor. He obviously didn't feel like he touched the net. I saw him speaking with Dimitrov after the match, talking about touching the net. He apologised to Dimitrov. I think Hurkacz is just not the type of person who's going to be like that on a regular basis. Yeah, but it was, he touched the net with his left foot, apparently. And yeah, you can understand how disappointed he was because he put so much effort into it. I've never seen Hrkač on the floor more times than in this match. He was trying to run so many shots down. Fair play to him. A really valiant effort, but well played, Grigor Dimitrov. He does progress. He faces Carlos Alcaraz in the quarterfinals. The last quarterfinal to speak about, or quarterfinalists, is Daniil Medvedev and Nicholas Jarry, who's been sort of making his way through this tournament unnoticed a little bit. He's knocked out the likes of Jack Draper, not an easy one, Seboj Wild, been in good form, and Casper Ruud, normally goes deep in Masters events. So make of that list what you will. But I think it's a really good list of people to have beaten, especially to beat Ruud in straight sets. Will he have the same success against Daniil Medvedev, though? I'm not so sure, because Medvedev came up against an in-form Kopfer, and Kopfer had just beaten Ugo Umber. I mean, I didn't really give him a chance. He did well in the first set, but then got bageled in the second set. And Daniil, he was the champion of this event for a reason. It's because he's good in Miami. And, well, it's going to take a tough, tough cookie to stop Daniil Medvedev progressing into that semi-final. Is Nicholas Jarry the man to do it, though? That's the question. Let's get on to some predictions, though. I'll tell you how I see this one going. Right, Carlos Alcaraz versus Grigor Dimitrov. Sadly, Grigor, I'm not giving you a hope in this one. I think Alcaraz blitzes him. I think it might be just a breaker set, though. 3-3 again. I'm going to go... This one's quite tough, because if Malazan plays lights-out tennis, Zverev could be in trouble. But I feel the serve of Zverev is just... If he serves well, he wins. And that... There's no other way around it. Medvedev versus Jarry. I think Jarry's done really well so far. Do I think he's going to beat Medvedev? No, I don't. I think Daniil will go through. Will it go to three sets? Maybe, because of a tie break. But I think Daniil, too strong. The third set will be a comfortable one. And for me, this one could be the toughest one to predict. And even though I think it's discrediting Jannik Sinner, or it's crediting Thomas Mahatch, but I feel like this one on paper, or based upon the body of work, Thomas Mahatch has made himself look more attractive. But the way Jannik Sinner's been playing, signs in that Murray match from Mahatch, I thought Murray should have won the match. So based upon that, I think Jannik Sinner would hold his nerve a lot better, and he may not even get into the situations where he's even able to be in a position to beat Jannik Sinner. So I'm going to be going for Jannik Sinner. The 1-2-3-4 I think is going to happen. Let me know if you agree in that comment section below, and if you haven't already, smash a like, subscribe, and join us for more Miami Open action coming up all this week.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.